Father, in these moments of your presence, we may feel like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration when he wanted to do something, didn't know what to do, but you spoke. And you reminded him and you remind us what it's all about is that Jesus is your beloved Son. Honor him, listen to him. And so we give him the place of prominence this morning in our hearts and in this church. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at our prayer chain and you read in here, we have missionaries in South Africa, and Jeremiah will be with us, India, Senegal, Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Then we have a part-time missionary in Mexico also who lives right here in Mercer County. I'd say Gail Bailey, whose daughter Adina is down there full-time working at the children's home. Gail goes down periodically, and I think even without conferring with her, I'd be right in saying she has a real heart for being there. And every time she goes, she comes back excited. And we have talked about her giving a little report. Last Sunday, Ruth gave a wonderful testimony, which blessed so many people. And today I'm going to ask Gail to testify and show some pictures and talk about her work there on her recent trip with her daughter Adina down in Mexico. So we've agreed to split this time once again. And so Gail, although, would you come on up? Make sure she gets a microphone. She's already got it. And we have some pictures, some video, and some things that are on her heart. Gail, we appreciate you doing so much within our church and then extending it down there in Mexico. So the Lord bless you this morning as you've come to share about what's on your heart.
I'm not sure. I mean, we did agree half and half, but I have a tendency to get started, and I don't know how much you're going to get. Sorry. I got the microphone now.
Now, Ruth told me just to nod my head or come take it away from her. I mean, I'd hate to have a spectacle here this morning.
Well,
go ahead. Lord bless you.
First, Adina sent a message because she knew I was going to get up and speak this morning. So I'm going to try and hold this up to the microphone and see if y'all can pick it up.
A todos, ustedes son mía, los quiero un chorro. Nah, I'm just kidding. Hey to everybody, I love you guys. Mom told me that she was going to speak at church. So I said, thanks to technology, I'll just record our message and hopefully you guys can hear this. So thank you guys so much for all your continual support, your prayers, your love over all these years that you've known me. Even the new people that have come to church, you guys accept me just as family, even though you might not know me as well. So thanks so much. I can't really put into words how much you mean to me and how blessed I am to have you all as part of my family. I truly thank God for your lives and the blessing each of you are to me while I'm home or while I'm away. Thanks for loving me, and thanks for loving my mama. Keep on loving her and taking care of her, please. I hope to see each of you soon, and more so to get some good old hugs, especially yours, George. I mean, I love everybody's hugs, but George, let's be real here. Yours are the best. No offense to everybody. I miss you all, and I love you. And if anybody ever wants to come, like we say here, mi casa es tu casa. My house is your house. You guys are more than welcome to come. This place will change your life. Thanks so much for everything you've done. Thank you, each one of you, for allowing me to continue living my dream. And just please continue to pray for each of us, including me, everyone here on staff. There's 7 of us. And I love you all so much, and I can't wait to see you. Love you all. God bless. Bye.
Okay, I'll put my phone here, but I won't guarantee anything, okay? the first thing I wanted to do was just show you some quick slides of Mexico. I won't do a whole lot of narration of them. You can just look at them. If you have any questions, you can ask me later, because if I went through all the pictures that I have, we would be here a whole lot longer. So I'm trying to work on this 15-minute thing. Okay, Brandy. Yes.
Thank you.
It's funny that we had just sung this song, isn't it? Adina's learning to cook, by the way. They left their tree up just so I could see it when I went. And my first experience on a four-wheeler. I love the colors. Color is everywhere. And that's sugar cane for anybody that doesn't know. It's sugar cane season down there. And that's what it looks like when they harvest it. It's beading class. That is Gabo. That's Adina's little boy right now. I think that was the last one. Every year I usually get up and give a little talk about my trip to Mexico. And so this year I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I said, you know, I don't want it to be boring. I don't want it to be the same slides every year after year after year. I want you all to get something out of it like I got something out of it. Of course, I've got a little bit deeper connection because I have the daughter there. But this is truly an experience that for anybody that's gone out of the country to a place that's poor and impoverished, they can relate. You know, there's some of us that have and some that haven't, but you just can't imagine, like, the roadside markets that you saw in the pictures selling oranges alongside the road. We bought ceviche one day, and it's just on the side of the road. You know, people in America would say, I'm not eating that. That's not controlled temperature. That's not refrigerated. It doesn't matter down there. I mean, that's the way they're used to. We put so many rules and regulations, I think, on what we do in the United States that sometimes I think we kind of go overboard. But anyway, I was praying to see what I felt God was trying to get me to show you all. So we'll get into that a little bit more. He convicted me, so I've kind of got a confession to make this morning. But we had a wonderful time in Mexico, as usual. It was very hot this year when I went. And I did get a new experience in customs that I'd never had before. Normally, I go through, and you hit the button, and it shows green, and you go right on through. And this year, it didn't happen that way. I mean, I didn't even get to press the button. They pulled me aside and started rummaging through my luggage, which I didn't know why, but, you know, they're going to do it. You let them do it. You don't argue with them. And they asked me where all my receipts were. And unfortunately, I think a lot of this has to do with President Trump, because they've never stopped me before. I said, I don't have any receipts. Well, did the home send, I told them they were gifts to the home, and they said, well, did they send the airport a form saying what I was bringing? And I said, no. And the longer we talked, a little bit of panic started going through my mind because he asked me what the value was, and I guessed about $200, and he said, you need to pay it. And because I don't always think before I speak, I said, no. I just paid $200 in the States for this. I'm not paying $200 for it down here. And he said, then you'll leave it here. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't have an awful lot of money to spend down here, and you're telling me I owe. To make a long story short, I asked him if I could go get Adina because I felt like there was something in translation that I was definitely losing. So they said, yeah. So they opened up the door of customs, and I stood there, and I looked at Adina, and I just went, I'm in trouble. So she came, and she said, what did you declare this stuff for? I said, I got 14 bottles of deodorant for men. And, you know, on your customs form, you got to tell how many days you're going to be down there. There's no way I could have gone through all that deodorant. And like I said, it was men's deodorant anyway, so why lie about it? I mean, that's not the way to go. Long story short, I had to pay taxes on all that stuff I took. So I wound up having to pay $35 right out the bat. And I said, you take a credit card, right? Yeah, yeah, anything but MasterCard. Well, guess what I've got? So luckily my boss at work had given me some cash, and it went to taxes right off the bat. But it was a lot of fun. Adina told me on the way home, she said, oh, by the way, now this is the same child that told me she wanted me to relax and have a good time. We're fixing pancakes for everybody tomorrow. You know how to make pancakes from scratch? You know, we're talking about 50 some odd people, and I thought, this doesn't sound relaxing to me, but she always finds jobs, and if she doesn't, the mom of the home always finds jobs. So if anybody ever goes, don't worry about twiddling your thumbs, because I guarantee you, between the two of them, they will find something for you to do. But it's a really good trip. I've been enough times now that I have bonds with a lot of the kids and certainly the adults too, even though I still don't understand everything they say. But I did get sick while I was down there and almost passed out at church, which was not the best thing to happen, but got through that and got back home safely, and no mishaps that I'm aware of anyway. But when I got home and I got to thinking, when Pastor Terry asked me to do this, this is the confession. No, I'll save the confession part till after the second set of pictures. I'll show you a few more pictures with description. Am I in anybody's way when I stand? Maybe if I stand over here. Can you see? Okay. Yeah, these were the pancakes. This was my grill. We had an American dinner on Monday night after I got there. And in Mexico, you don't get hamburger size. You get hamburgers this size, plate size. Usually they're pre-padded little thin patties, but I never do anything the easy way, so I padded them out and cooked them on the grill. It was our American dinner. We had hamburgers, french fries, and banana splits. And these were the people that ate it. This is where we bought the ceviche I was telling you about. It's just a little cart on the side of the street. You see, they have the salsa and they have the ketchup, and if there was mayonnaise anywhere around, that would have been setting out all day long too, so it's okay. These trucks, we took a trip one day, and these trucks were all lined up and down the road, and you can't see it, but they are full of oranges. They park alongside the road and wait till the factory can take them in, and they go in one at a time and unload, and I bet some of them sat there for days because there were so many of them. This is Zacahui. The picture on the left is what Zacahui looks like to start with, and the picture on the right is another one of those side markets where they sell it. The man takes 10 hours to cook it, and it's all wrapped in corn shucks, and he just unwraps it right there on the street and serves it up right there on the street, on the edge of the sidewalk. When he runs out, he goes home. That's it. But that's what's called a zacahui. That was in San Luis that we went to see a park. The whole city is built into the side of the mountain. It's just chiseled out. And this was part in the park. This park was made by this man from Scotland who came to Mexico and enjoyed the beauty there so much that it used to be full of thousands of different species of flowers and animals and insects. And one year, 1964, I think it was, snow came, and it killed a good part of all of his specimens. So he decided to build this place, and he was going to build it back, but build his flowers and stuff in concrete. As you can see, there's flower leaves on the bottom of this. And when it rains, the way they have it set up, when the rains hit those domes at the top, it comes down like a birdcage. Little cages. And the other is his home. And you can't see it very well, but there's a screened-in area on this side where he used to have live birds in his bedroom. And now there's concrete birds stuck on the wire. He was a very strange man. They said he never finished anything. But it was good to get out and explore another area of Mexico, and you see how blue that water is. I did bring the rock brandy, but it's in my purse. The reason it's so blue is because it's actually rocks that when they're wet, they turn that color. So, and that's one of the flowers, the beautiful flowers they had there. The seeds are in somebody's hand, and the top of the seeds look like molars. Now this is a little bit different explanation. This is what Adina aspires for. She really would covet everybody's prayers. There is some hope that there is a guy that may like her in Mexico, and she's just really hopeful that... Apparently, they don't put a lot of focus on dating. It's friendship, and then engagement, and then marriage. Dating doesn't really play a part in Mexico. So we're still waiting to hear from the guy if he's going to just come right out and finally tell her how he feels, but... He's being really nice to her anyway. Yes?
Say what it is that she's pointing
to. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This was in the park. This is actually the entrance to the park, and it's a huge engagement ring. And you can see the sparks shooting out the top of it. So that's what that is. Peggy helped me with bracelets. For the boys, I was trying to take gifts for everybody this year instead of just the leaders, take it for the kids, and together me and Peggy made bracelets, parachute bracelets for all the boys, and that's them wearing them. That was my day in the classroom. Adina had them ask me English questions, and I respond in English, and then the kids hopefully will understand. The worst question was, which I knew it was coming, was what did I think about President Trump? Of course, he wasn't president at the time. And you just kind of think, okay, I got to be really diplomatic here or I could get really in a lot of trouble. So another little prayer went up, and I just finally told the kids, you know, he has some really good ideas and he has some ideas that I don't agree with. But that's the way every president is. That's the way every leader is. Your president here in Mexico is the same way. And I said, all I can do is pray for his guidance from the Lord above. And one class gave me an applause for that, believe it or not. So I said, whew, got out of that one. It's a new bridge that they built out to what they call the ranch. We think of ranches like out in Texas, but their ranch is just a little house. It's back on behind the home. And it's more of a place to go to... be alone, to be with God. That's where we had our American dinner. And when it rained a lot, obviously they couldn't get through. So now they have a brand new bridge that they built after I left. So that's all the pictures. Okay. All right. Now talk about the part where I was convicted. During my prayer to the Lord as to what I should present to you all, I got to thinking, okay, missions has been on my heart for a long time, and I didn't even really notice it. I mean, I wrote a Bible school program, whole curriculum one year for another church, and it was nothing but missions. We studied countries and their missionaries there part of the time, and then we studied Paul's travels in the rest of it. So it was focused on missions. So I think it's something that's always been in me. I just haven't always utilized it. Anyway, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And the whole thought came to me of, we're all going to be called to stand before the Lord someday. And what are we going to say when he says, what have you done for me? And I thought, Lord, I just went to Mexico. Kudos for me, you know. And then I got the word back. Gail, that was a week and a half. A week and a half of a year. Is that all I'm worth? Is a week and a half? Phew. Just a little smack in the face. I mean, I thought, you know, I never really looked at it that way. I thought I was doing a good thing. I was going to help them, you know, and I've been on other mission trips, and I've done other activities, and I thought I was doing pretty good until that just kind of smacked me right in the face. A week and a half a year, that's all I could give. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And of course, the whole philosophy is if you have enough faith, then you should live the life that shows through your activities and your works that you love the Lord. And so I got to thinking about, what has God given me? What talents has God given me? Have you ever thought about that? Everybody's got them. Some people it's a little more hidden than others, but everybody's got them. And I had been involved with the Global Aid Network years ago for a mission project, and so I got on their website, and they actually have a sewing project, and I do sew. So I've decided to endeavor on this new sewing project, and this is where you all can come in. I'm in need of old, used towels or old flannel sheets or shirts. If you've got in your closets, you know, that are ratty and you don't want to put them out for everybody else to use anymore, if they've got bleach spots in them, it doesn't matter. But I could use any of those. And then I got to thinking, well, if I feel this way, somebody else is bound to feel this way. What are you doing in your life? And I'm not expecting an answer, but what are you doing in your life that honors the Lord? Is it something like I was thinking, just a little tiny bit? Is it something that you're doing ongoing? I know there's people that can write so eloquently. I know people that have the gift of encouragement to other people. I know because I've gotten their note cards. You know, write a note. If you're like me and you don't want to spend a lot of money, there's a ministry to become a prisoner pen pal, which I've been involved in for over 8 years, where all you do, you spend one sheet of paper, two stamps, and two envelopes once a month. That's not real expensive. Doesn't take a whole lot of time to write a letter. It's not hard. It's not scary. Really, it's not. And they do things to protect you, so you don't have to worry about that. If that's somebody, if you're sitting at home with nothing else to do, that's a good project. You know, there are so many things. And I used to use my kids in it as an excuse. Well, I got 5 kids. I can't do that. I haven't got any time. And now it's, I have 3 jobs. I don't have any time. Yes, I do. What's more important? Where are my priorities? So I would encourage each and every one of you, if you have kids, get them involved in doing something. When high winds came through one time many years ago and blew a lot of tree limbs down, Roger brought his 2 daughters out, and they picked up sticks out of my yard. Now, could I have done that myself? Yeah, I could have. But it was a whole lot easier for them 2 young girls to bend over and pick it up than it was for me. whole lot quicker too. You know, that we have so much inside of us that we don't utilize that we can share with other people. They can be friends, they can be strangers. So I've sat down and reevaluated things and put in place things that I want to do, because when I'm called upon in front of the throne to say, "What have you done for me?" I want to be able to answer something. I don't want to sit there and go, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, age is not a limit. Your circumstances should not be a limit. A lot of times, if you're in pain, the best way to get through that pain is to help somebody else. You know, we live in a very self-centered society, very self-centered. And I just feel like God is calling me to do more. And, you know, I would ask that each and every one of you pray about what you can do. You know, if you don't have the physical well-being to do it and you've got the finances to do it, you can support other people with finances. There's nothing wrong with that either. But make a difference. Start now and make a difference.
Thank you, Gail. I wasn't even timing. Every time one of these folks has something to share, it speaks to my heart about the theme of the day. And I would be very remiss if I took this opportunity to just jump right over what Gail said, and because I'm on a pattern through the book of John to say, by doggies, I'm going to preach that sermon regardless. That 16th chapter of John just keeps waiting and waiting and waiting. It'll get here someday. And the good news is, it gives me another week without a lot of sermon preparation. I've been preparing this thing for 3 weeks. But Gail spoke to our hearts this morning, and I was sitting there saying, Lord, I don't want to change directions. So what did she say that I can say that makes this day cohesive? That each of us goes away from here saying, I may have heard it a little differently, but what the Lord was speaking was so clear and so loud that it can't be missed. And as she talked about it, and you know, I was thinking, I don't think Gail's putting a guilt trip on any of us. She was saying, Lord, you've spoken to me. And then she challenged us to allow the Lord to speak to each one of us. And we can count on that, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And each of us who is a believer is one of those sheep, and we hear differently because the Lord knows each of us individually. He speaks to us in just the way that he knows is best. One of the ways he speaks to all of us is through the Word. And the great apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 talks about something that I want us to take home with us this morning. And I, again, will be very brief, because I want to emphasize again, as I did last Sunday, as through the years and being in the ministry for 50 years, and I hope to goodness I'm not doing it, was when the Lord spoke, if the local pastor got up and felt that he had to tell everybody what was just said or add his 2 cents worth just to have 2 cents worth to add, I thought he was kind of filling the role of all the news analysts who come on after a speech and tell us what we just heard. There's something offensive about that. And so what I want to do is, by the words that I share for about 5 minutes this morning, is say amen to what Gail has said about the Lord speaking to us individually. And we are by culture a self-centered culture. We do our best not to be, but we've been so spoiled and so blessed that everything we do so often revolves around, how's this affect me and my comfort? And I think God needs to speak to us. So in the vein of helping all of us use our gifts, in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read 3 or 4 verses. So, Brandy, you don't have to worry about it unless you've pulled it up, because she had a whole different set of scripture. But if you have Romans 12, beginning with verse 3, you can put it on the screen, and I'll read just right on down. You keep going until I stop, all right? I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. This is just one passage of Scripture, along with Ephesians and also with 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, where Paul talks about the function of the body and especially emphasizes the differing gifts. Gale said this: we all have talents, we all have gifts, and they differ according to the sovereign will of God to give to each individual, as he says in 1 Corinthians, individually as he wills. And so we need to prioritize the gifts that we have and use them. And I love the way Paul puts this here, that we're individually members of one another, that we have these gifts that are according to the grace of God. And so through each of them, whether it's prophecy or ministry, exhorting or giving or leading or teaching, the emphasis is do it wholeheartedly. Do it with cheerfulness. Do it according to the grace that's given to you. Can I just stop right here and just before I bring this to a close? Because it's like the Lord's leading us in a very kind of personal way today. We have all these wonderful experiences that we've talked about where God's been so gracious. But maybe a rhetorical question. Look within your heart and mind. Think for just a moment. Do you believe that you have gifts? Do you really believe that you have talents that are from God? I think some folks really think they don't. And I think the reason that they don't is because we fall into that trap of comparing our gifts. And Paul addresses that in Corinthians when he says, the gifts that we would deem less honorable and less needful are sometimes the most important ones. And God gives greater honor, just as in our body parts, the less presentable are given more covering. It's this idea that God gives each one of us something special. Are you using it? Don't compare it to somebody else's. I would say, if you are one of those people who, you know, you may need to stretch yourself, but if you said, you know, I really couldn't travel outside the country, and if that's legitimate, if that's really true, then God may use you somewhere else. If you're one who's blessed financially, Paul says, he who gives, to give liberally. All of these gifts, you see, are under the design of the master builder of the body, who is God, who is Christ, who is the head. And so when each one of us does our part, it's amazing how the structure comes together, the unity and the function of the body. When you build a house, you'll have concrete people, you'll have framers, you'll have people who work in metal, you'll have finished carpenters, you'll have plumbers, you'll have heating and cooling people. You really don't want the heating and cooling guy, if that's all he knows, to be doing the framing. Now, granted, using that same illustration, there are some folks that are just so gifted, the guy says, I can build the whole house. Do this and do that and the other. But he really doesn't have time to be spread in that many directions. It always works so much better when each part does its part and the body functions properly. Let's be challenged this morning to be used by God where He puts us, to answer His call when He speaks to us, and to realize that we do have gifts. And though we may think it's not that important, if we're using it and we're doing it for the glory of God, He'll see that the results are what they ought to be. So I just ask again, do you really believe that you have a gift or a talent? You may just say, oh no, I'm just kind of gifted at that or good at that, or it just comes naturally. I would say it may come supernaturally, because all the gifts and the talents, they're God-given, and He put them together that way. Gail, thank you for sharing your trip. Thank you for challenging our hearts this morning. And may each of us go away with that word from the Lord about using and prioritizing the things that He's given us to use. Robbie, do we have a closing song today?
I do. It's a song you shared with us last week,
Yes, so we're kind of learning a new hymn for some folks, but worship team, come on back and lead us in that. By a show of hands, how many are familiar with that great old Fanny Crosby hymn, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord, A Wonderful Savior to Me? Well, I see a few hands. We'll be able to take it on. Let's stand together. And as we sing this song and as we worship the Lord in this closing song, if you need to come this morning for prayer, if there's something we can pray with you about, or if you just need to make a decision for the Lord publicly, but I think all of us will have some to make privately and let the Lord speak to us. Let's worship Him. Let's let Him speak to us during this time.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul.
Covers me there.
When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. And he covers me there with his hand.
Well, we've had a good day today. I hope nobody goes away with a need on your heart that hasn't been met by the Lord. I guess the older I get, the more I get in a rut. And I don't want to ask everybody else to get in my rut with me, but I just love leaving church on a upbeat. And I don't want to be in conflict with the Spirit, but sometimes it's just so good. And so I'm going to ask all of you. I know you do same, we do some things over and over, but how many of you, get ready, boys.
We're ready.
How many of you just kind of feel good when we leave after singing I'll Fly Away? Do you kind of feel good? And how many feel better when there's a banjo with it? Gail, I've got a confession. I thought, Lord, I really don't want to be guilty of just doing something fleshly. But I don't think the Lord mind if we left feeling good as long as we're singing about Him, right? I believe we'd feel real good going. So just, Brandy, I always throw these folks curves, but after 30 years you can get away with it. You got it? All right, let's praise the Lord and let's go out of here on a high note. And even after we have this, we'll have the benediction. And if you need prayer, you can come up. And don't forget to help in the offering for the young lady that's burned out and about to close. Don't forget all that. Don't get so excited flying away. We forget to do what we need to do while we're here.
Okay.
Some bright morning when this life is over, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, high, my Jesus in the sky. I'll fly away.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for being flexible. Thank you all for joining in worship this morning. Thank you, Gail, for sharing about your trip and about how we can all be a part of using the gifts and prioritizing what God has given us. As I said before, don't forget the things that you can do to bless this young lady who's burned out, things to send clothes next week to South Africa, lots of ways to be unselfish and to bless others. Don't forget to greet our visitors and to greet one another with the love of Christ today. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Please greet one another with the love of Christ today.